Did people receive eternal life from John the Baptist's message that he preached? That's what we're going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. We're taking questions from listeners just like you. You can get your questions answered by sending us an email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to Grace in Focus. We're so glad that you're listening. I know that you have lots of questions about eternal life, about how to be sure of your salvation, about what exactly the saving message is. And whatever questions you might have about the Bible and theology, we'd love to at least take a swing at them. So send them to radio@faithalone.org. For example, here is a question from Ruth. And she asks, did people receive eternal life through the preaching of John the Baptist? What do you think?
I'd say absolutely.
We'd have to guess, though.
Well, we're not told so-and-so came to faith through John the Baptist, but we have a number of examples. In John chapter 1, it's either verse 7 or verse 8, he says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. So later in John chapter 1, we're given the example of two of the disciples of John the Baptist, starting in John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then John says, I saw the Spirit descending on him, and I've seen and testified this is the Son of God. And then notice in John 1:35, again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus, he said, behold the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus says, come and see. And one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Well, it then goes on to say, he found Simon. He said, we have found the Messiah. And he brought his brother. So Andrew, it seems to me, came to faith through the ministry of John the Baptist. He was one of the two disciples of John. The other was probably the Apostle John. We're not sure. But both of those were believers before they come over. But the difference is they believed in the coming Messiah for everlasting life, but they didn't yet know that that was Jesus. So John the Baptist has to identify him. There's the Messiah. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so they came to faith. And the other example would be John 3:36, where John says that whoever believes in him has everlasting life.
Right. So I guess that would be the clearest verse, where John comes out and says it. In John 3:36, John the Baptist says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life.
You also have in Acts 19, you have some Old Testament saints who came to faith evidently through John the Baptist, and they're called disciples of John, who Paul then baptizes with Christian baptism because they'd never undergone Christian. I think 19:4, somewhere in there.
Right. So at least John 3:36 and elsewhere, you have to kind of read between the lines in light of John preaching everlasting life. All right, well, I hope that answers your question, Ruth. Here is a question from Carla. And Carla says, you know, I've come across something troubling. You're probably well aware of it. Have you ever come across pastors who are well known that give different salvation messages? It seems that sometimes they'll give the correct biblical salvation, but other times they'll give a salvation by works. I don't understand. If they give the biblical faith alone message, why would they change it at other times to a Lordship Works message? Would you shed some light on this?
Well, that is a terrific question, and I've seen that a lot. Let me give an illustration from one person in one message, and then we can extrapolate this. I was in Portland, Oregon for 1 year. I taught at Multnomah. It used to be called School of the Bible. Now it's Multnomah University. I was teaching there, and I heard a famous evangelist. And I started writing down what he said you had to do to be born again, to have eternal life. And he gave nine different things. Nine.
Wow.
One or two of them were clear, like believe in Jesus as your Savior, or believe in Jesus for salvation. But the rest of them were things like give your life to Christ, commit your life to Christ, follow Christ, all kinds of things like that. I think the reason why he gave nine different things is because in his mind, the way to be saved is to come to Jesus in some sense. And for different people, different phrases might help them come to Jesus.
Right.
I think in his view, coming to Jesus included some sort of commitment, some sort of obedience. But when a pastor does this, like let's say 1 week a pastor says, all you need to do is believe in Jesus and you're saved once and for all. And then the next week he says you have to give your life to Christ or commit your life to Christ. I think part of the issue is pastors have a lot of people in their congregation if it's a big church. And their livelihood depends on keeping these people happy. And I've gotten lots of emails from people who've said, I went to talk to my pastor and told him I was concerned that he had given a lordship message. So the next Sunday, he gave a free grace message.
Right, right.
But then, 2 weeks later, he went back to giving a lordship message.
Right.
Oftentimes with a pastor, and the, you know, it's hard for me to imagine this actually happens, but it looks like it sure does, that the reason they're doing this is because they want to keep their job.
Right, they're people-pleasing.
People are pressing them, and they feel like, well, it doesn't really matter that much because you're saved by coming to Jesus, having some kind of interaction with Jesus. And so it really doesn't matter much whether it's believing in him or giving your life to him or following him or serving him. It's all about Jesus. And, of course, that's a terrible misuse of Scripture. They must not think it's that important or they wouldn't be jumping around. When she talks about someone who is preaching conflicting messages, 1 week it's one way, another week it's another way, that's not typically what we see from most Arminians, and it's not typically what we see from most Lordship Salvation people. Normally, they're going to give a consistent Lordship Salvation message,
right,
or work salvation message. What we're talking about here is a limited number of people who are not real strong in their convictions. These are people who kind of feel like they need to cover all the bases.
I also think another possibility is I think a lot of pastors are just genuinely confused and they haven't really thought through these issues.
That's a good point. And so they cover all the bases.
I mean, they really don't know. They don't see that there's a contradiction, or they're like, I don't know how to work it out, but maybe God will resolve this contradiction in the end. I've talked to pastors who are like, Sean, it's definitely not by works. I don't believe in work salvation. It's just that if you don't work, then you don't really believe. Or and they'll say that, and they're
right.
I can tell that they're honest. They're like, Sean, you're really misunderstanding me. We've talked a little bit about this in the past, but I think a lot of theology is people think theology should be paradoxical. It should be full of mysteries, and that somehow it's pious to have these contradictions. I know we believe in truth, and truth does not contradict itself. We don't have all the answers, but the answers that we do have are consistent with each other.
Sometimes people will hear what we're saying and they'll say, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, my challenge to them would be to pray about this and search the Scriptures. Isn't that sad that on the most important issue of all, you're going to have people who are shepherding flocks of people, and they really don't know what the people need to do to be born again.
Right. It is sad. If you're a pastor, being a pastor is a, or in ministry, it's hard work. I mean, there's a lot of big questions to be wrestling on. And I don't blame anyone if they don't have all the answers to all the questions, because, I mean, we certainly don't. We're still learning, and we're wrestling with
Absolutely.
These things. But I don't think eternal life is one of those issues where God is like, oh, it's okay if you don't understand it. It's fine if you're all confused about it. No, that's one of the foundations that you're supposed to now move on to maturity from. You know, it's kind of like you need to get that set.
Let me give you an example. I have a friend, I don't think he'd mind me mentioning his name, Pastor Paul Carpenter. He's in Janson, Nebraska. He graduated from a Bible college in Florida. And toward the end of his college career, he came under the influence of some strong Calvinists, and he lost his assurance of everlasting life.
Mm.
So he went into the pastorate for a few years, and he ended up and stopped being a pastor because he didn't have assurance of his salvation. He couldn't give anybody assurance, and he thought, what am I doing? Well, then he went back into the ministry because he thought, well, you know, this is what God has called me to do, and somehow this will work out. And he was at the Moody Pastors Conference 1 year, and he met a man named Kirk Muller, who was a pastor from Texas. And Kirk talked to him, and he talked about how he didn't have assurance, and we can't have assurance. And Kirk says, of course we can't. And Kirk explained to him that, look, if you simply believe in Jesus, you have everlasting life. That's John 3:16, John 5:24. And so Paul asked him about, what do you do with Hebrews 6? What do you do with James 2? Kirk gave him answers to all of those. And he had him start reading some books that explained all these things. Paul got his assurance back. And he's now been in the pastorate since then for over 30 years. And he's been very faithful to Christ. And you can read his story on our website. He gives his testimony at faithalone.org, Paul Carpenter, Pastor Paul Carpenter. And it's a very powerful testimony and witness. And I think, Sean, that if a person is lacking assurance of everlasting life and they're in a position of spiritual authority, they need to resolve that issue right now. They need to get that settled, because you shouldn't be in a position of spiritual authority unless you at least have the basics of the Christian life down. And justification by faith alone is one of the basics.
Well, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about these truths, you know, about being born again, about eternal life, and Nicodemus seemed to be totally clueless about it, didn't Jesus say to him something like, are you a teacher of Israel? Don't you know these things? You know, as a teacher, you should know these things. This is basic.
And actually, I think the Greek has a definite article there, the teacher of Israel. He's one of the leading teachers in all of Israel, and yet he doesn't understand about the new birth by faith.
Uh-huh. So if you're in that position, hey, we want to help you. We don't want to condemn you. We want to help you. If you're a pastor who's confused about eternal life and assurance and once saved, always saved, we want to help you. We have a lot of books on our website that I think would be very helpful to you, especially by Zane Hodges and by Bob. You can go to faithalone.org. And of course, we have lots and lots of articles and videos and audio. I think that will give answers to the questions that people typically have.
Right.
About how it, could it be possible that salvation really is by faith and really is apart from works. Well, thank you for your questions. And if you're struggling with assurance, we want to hear from you. Write us at radio@faithalone.org. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated, because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we've got more questions from listeners, so you want to tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.